On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I do not know what to make of Minnesota's new family leave program. 6 months in, we have a look at how many people are applying for this benefit. At first, my reaction is that, I mean, I sure wish I got this much time off when my wife was pregnant with her kids. Welcome to Drive Time. It's Jason. I want your input on Minnesota's Family Leave Act, and I especially would like to hear what your experience has been. Do you own a business where you've had to figure out, like, gosh, now I got, you know, a bunch of people going on leave? I have a number of examples that I've been gathering on social media today, but I'd love to hear from you at 651-461-9226. We reported on this in our news yesterday, and it was one of those things that sometimes I feel like I need some time to think about something before I bring it up on the air. Because my gut reaction, I think, was like a lot of yours. This idea where the state expected in the first 6 months of this new program, and this program gives you up to 20 weeks of leave for pregnancy, for caring for a relative, for illness or injury, all sorts of stuff. It's sort of a state insurance program where the premiums for it come through a almost 0.9% payroll tax. So it's coming out of your check. Your employer might be paying some of it. You might be paying some of it. And the state gets this premium money, but then they've also funded this program so they can pay out a portion of your pay. So you could take, you know, your wife has a baby. You as the guy were, of course, the hero of that interaction. As the father, you participated in somewhere between 10 to 45 seconds of that moment. And your wife, who has spent almost 10 months carrying that child to term, you both get the same amount of time off. I know, bonding. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, old guy. Like, yes. But you could take 20 weeks of paid leave, courtesy of this program. For many, I bet this program has been amazing. Perhaps you work at an employee, an employer that doesn't have leave. And the truth is, I think the stats from around the country is something, you know, fewer than 30% of people have any sort of real leave program at their job. That's a lot of people who just end up going without pay, right? You get hurt, you go without pay. My sister has a chronic illness. She lives in Illinois. She uses her sick time. Boom. It's gone. And then she has to take paid leave, unpaid leave, rather. If she lived in Minnesota, she would be eligible to take 20 weeks of leave. What makes it difficult to know how to feel about it is the state reported out that about 145,000 people applied for paid leave and around 75,000 applications were granted. Now, I have reached out to the state to try to get some clarity. Does that mean almost 50,000 people were denied because they were trying to scam the system? Or does it mean like those folks were, they had incomplete paperwork, whatever? It's hard to know if this thing is working or if this thing is not. It's hard to know. And that's why I'm asking for your input. 651-461-9226. One texter saying thank you for asking for input. I'm a small business owner of a very small company, and I think this is absolutely outrageous. That goes in line with some of the comments I got on social media from people who are dealing with this program. So, for example, MN Pop-Tart says, it has cost my company $80,000 in new taxes through Q2. That's not including the cost to replace employees on leave. I'm not saying there isn't a place for it, but it is true that it is only half. If it's true, it's only half funded. That's a huge problem for businesses that are going to be dumped on again. The law set a cap and said, here's the most that we can raise the payroll tax in order to fund this. At the end of the year, well, frankly, by the end of this month, there is going to be a recommendation from the state as to how much they should charge. I think at the most fundamental level, we look at this and say, people who need to care for a loved one or people who are post-surgery or post-injury, we do want them to have some paid leave so we can take care of each other. At the same time, another response says on a small team of eight, so imagine this, a company with just eight people, three have gone out on paid family medical leave, two at the same time. That's put a lot of strain on the rest of us. This Midwest Unity on X says, I know 100% that one of those employees went on vacation 1 week after coming back. She quit via text. So here is the danger, and I guess here is my challenge to you. We know there is going to be a certain amount of fraud. We know there are a certain number of people who are going to take advantage of the system. Welcome to life. Rich people take advantage of the system by trying to dodge taxes. Some ding-dong that works next to you in the office takes advantage of the system by calling in sick and using their sick days when they're not sick. So life has a certain amount of this. I am not ready to pronounce an entire program garbage or fraud because we can come up with some examples. That said, we don't have the best track record in this state at setting up a system that protects against the fraud. So it's difficult to know what to do. 651-461-9226. Jason, I'm both for and against this leave plan. My husband is a consultant. His company only makes money when its 150 employees are placed with customers and then billing. At the same time, we need to somehow show humanity. I think that's right. Another texter says it's tough enough for our small businesses. Now we've added family leave, many weeks to that. What's coming up next? Another texter says it's low-hanging fruit for fraudsters. I think the question that we have to face, and look, I get it if your analysis of every program the state of Minnesota does is, look at all the fraud we had in the human services area. And, well, this is probably going to be fraud, too. I get it if that's your reaction. I honor that reaction. That is not what we do on this show. I don't analyze federal programs from Donald Trump by saying Donald Trump bad, and so everything is bad. Similarly, I don't analyze state programs by saying we were lazy when it comes to fraud. And so everything we do is going to be lazy when it comes to fraud. That's just not how I choose to do this show or to live my life. Texters at 651-461-9226 says small businesses suffer tremendously with this new family leave law because they don't have any options to fill in the workplace. On top of the cost of it. Again, this probably had no big business impact, says this texter from 507, but the little guy gets killed again. I do think that's a valid response. In this state right now, if you are a small business, it is challenging with the new mandates, the new fees, this insurance program. Also, like, if you ask Minnesotans, what do you think about family leave? Should people have the ability to have paid time off from work? It's overwhelmingly popular. So this is classic, right? We want it. But we think other people are probably going to be liars when they use it. Betty is in Lakeville at 651-461-9226. Betty, you can tell, like, at this point, it's jury's out on this. I'm nervous about this program, but I also feel like there are a lot of people who are getting to take care of their parents or take care of their children, and that is a good thing. Where are you on this?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that people that are fighting it and haven't been in the situation where they've had to stay home and take care of a sick child, or even just spend some time with your newborn baby. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And I also have a friend that's involved in the program, and it's very tight. There's not a lot of room for fraud. Yeah, and 5% of the people are going to take advantage of it. Yeah. That's life.
That is life.
The way it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
to
and
me,
I just
that's
feel
not
like
enough to just be like, oh, throw it out. It's fraud. It's that. It's like, well, yeah, there's some fraud in it for sure. But you do need, like,
sure.
You know, to get approved. And this is why I'm trying to get a number. How many people were denied for, like, trying to rip off the thing or inadequate evidence or whatever? Because you can't just, like, fill out a form. You have to have a, like, a doctor's note or some sort of certification. Now, is there fraud in that process? Probably. But is it widespread?
I don't know. But I do think there's a lot of steps that you have to go through from what I understand. And I also think, yeah, some of the small businesses are getting hit. But, you know, they pick and choose what they complain about. They can do a lot of things in the small business that they spend money on themselves, and that's fine. It's 0.1%. I mean, come on. Can't we just be a decent society that helps out people that need a little help? What's wrong with that? I'm not a wealthy person, but I feel like it's okay to help people. It's okay. It's not going to kill any of us. And someday they might need it. And then they'll be like, wow, that was awesome. Like, I was able to help and care for my sick child or whoever.
Yeah, and there is benefit to the employer also, the fact that they don't have to go out and, you know, recruit and try to, you know, relocate or hire a new employee. You get to keep the institutional knowledge because somebody doesn't have to leave their job for this moment. They get that cushion. That said, if I were a small business, like I think about my friend who owns a restaurant, and you have people who are taking advantage of this benefit, as they should, why not? But then you got to hire new people to come in and fill that job for 10 weeks or 12 weeks or 4 weeks. And that's really hard when you are a really small business. That's difficult, too.
It is. And I am, you know, I am involved in that situation. But I think a lot of it is a conversation between the employer and the employee to try to figure out a plan. Yeah. Well, what's going to work for everybody here? You know, that's part of the problem is just need communication.
Betty, good call. Thank you. Thank you for listening, and thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it. 651-461-9226. Tons of text coming in. Drive Time will share your thoughts on this as we continue.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're talking about the paid family medical leave in the state of Minnesota. It's one of those things where you look at it and you're like, man, this is very popular. 75,000 applications approved. Certainly people had a demand for this. On the other hand, you say, that's a lot of use. 10,000 more applications approved than were expected. Already the tax rate went up before it even started. The tax rate was approved at one level by the legislature, was set there. Then it got raised when they looked at, let's be realistic. We're going to need to take more money in premiums. And likely it's going to go up again. And all of us are paying for this, just like unemployment insurance. It's a benefit like that. Will we be able to afford it? I think that is the question where you say, like, is this a want versus a need? I think in this case, it's both. It is a need for many people. The other solution is folks going on long-term disability, but that doesn't always fit based on some of this stuff. It's a tricky situation. Lots of texts coming in at 651-461-9226.
And it's only going to get trickier because you've got a generation, right, of our Gen Xers who are starting to take care of our parents, and that's only going to become more and more and more important and pulling us away from the job and important to have time away to be able to deal with it. You know, you have this huge boomer generation that's going to be needing care And that's going to pull on this. I'm empathetic to small businesses that don't have a lot of employees and are struggling to figure out how to make this work. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? As you mentioned, we've already tweaked how we're doing the funding of it a couple of times. Well, we can also look at the other end of it and say, okay, it's not working for businesses below this particular level. It's placing an undue burden upon them. So we're going to raise whatever the floor is of this thing in terms of business size to make sure, because there are plenty of businesses in Minnesota that can handle this, no problem.
Right.
And we shouldn't let them off the hook and force their employees to, you know, not be able to get access to this sort of benefit simply because there are small businesses where it is an undue burden. And we can have those kinds of nuanced discussions and deal with that legislatively in the next session. But there's not nearly enough data in my mind yet to be able to say it's working, it's not working, and just, you know, end it.
The average weekly payment is just a little over $1,000. 58% of those who have applied are younger than 40. And something like, it was like 38,000 workers submitted applications for birth-related time off. Now, this year, that number is going to be a little higher because of what I would say is a dumb part of this program, that if you had a baby born in 2025, you got to retroactively use this benefit. Now, I suppose it was to try to be fair to that December 30th birthday or whatever, but I think that is going to juice the numbers at the beginning, and then you'll sort of see in Q3 and 4, the second halves of this year, how this works. Texter says, I'm in the middle of this paid leave process, and it is a pain in the my issues. One, there's no handshake between employer and state. You can double dip and get full pay plus state payments. I know because we did, and we're trying to get it straightened out with our payroll. Number two, if you worked for a good employer with paid leave already, it made your benefit much worse because now you get to play middleman between the state and HR instead of just getting full pay with no drama. That is a true statement. Like, one of my friends who owns a business had a paid leave benefit, which he got rid of because now there's this state benefit that everybody's paying for. So he did make that change. That said, he was in the minority having that benefit, right? So, like, did that for his workers end up being a little bit of a worse deal? Yes. For the aggregate, is it better? Yes. Own a small plumbing company. I have one employee in Minnesota, paid leave, and another one expected to go on it in January, both with new children. I'm currently paying the full premium for all my employees, but I'm second guessing it now for next year. Would love to know what people's thoughts are. I'm also thinking if you use it, you don't get vacation. I'm losing 12 weeks of production per employee, which in turn I'm working nights and weekends nonstop to keep up with demand. It's really interesting, right? Like, I think if I were a small business, I would take a look at what the burden of this was on me, and I would reconsider, like, the tax is a 0.88% payroll tax, and you're allowed to charge your employee 0.44%. I would get passing on the 0.44 if you were taking the whole thing on yourself right now. I think that makes sense to me. Unemployment is usually not a choice. Having a child is a choice. You should prepare for it, says a texter. I get it. It's the same thing when I say, like, oh, I wish I had zero leave as a dad back in the day. And I'm glad there's leave now. I'm not such a douche that because I didn't get the benefit, I'm like, this stinks. I didn't get it, so you should suffer too. Like, that's silly. Wendy is in Andover. It's a complicated scenario. The textures are being very good, Wendy. The calls are good too. I think everybody understands, like, the good of this and the challenge of it. Trying to figure out is it worth it is a little more tricky.
Yeah, I would like to talk about some of the challenges. One thing is if you're employed, you pay 0.04%, so it's an additional tax. If you're self-employed, it's 0.08% because the employer doesn't match it.
Right.
Self-employed people can't take time off. because they don't have an employer. So they're paying double their income. For example, me, it's $1,500 a year out of my bank statement, and I can never take paid family leave because I'm the employer. I'm self-employed. So self-employed people should not be charged at all. Number two, can I just stop
you right there? Because my understanding of the Minnesota program is that if you are self-employed or an independent contractor, you're not automatically in this program. You can choose to opt in, but you don't, you're not forced. If you're a one of one, you're not forced to opt in or pay this tax.
Real estate agents, insurance agents, all kinds of independent contractors, it's automatically taken out of the paycheck. It's not an option. And they're paying double what a W-2 employer is paying. And they can't take time off. Because if you take time off, you don't make any money at all.
Right.
So that's one thing. The other thing is I've got grandchildren that are sitting in the cafeteria 3 out of 4 of their class sessions a day because the teachers are on paid family leave and the school districts are not allowed to call in subs until a big percentage of the teachers are gone.
The school and the hospital scenario, I think, is the biggest challenge for this. Minnesota Hospital Association has been speaking about the challenges of this because exactly what you said, it is very difficult to fill in those positions. Thanks, Wendy. It's tough. I my mind on this is open. I'm cautious. I think we have, as Dan said, nowhere near enough data on this. There are so many stories of great outcomes from this, right? Individuals like Nick, who said, I took 12 weeks off to be with my daughter. I'll forever be grateful for that time. I have no political stance on it. I was just very appreciative. It's interesting stuff. We're going to break in a minute. Tracy Perlman joins us. Tracy, as you know, with us every week, she works for Grand Casino Arena. I was curious what happens when you get like a sudden schedule change, when a pop star says, oh, I got to cancel my show. For a million different reasons, but they have to cancel. What happens? Tracy will tell us. We'll get into some other good stuff, too, when we come back on Drive Time.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.